I'd like to bring you to the closing verses of Mark 8, which we read. And it's these verses where the Lord Jesus reckoned with his own disciples. Verse 34, Mark chapter 8. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This coming Thursday will be December 31st. It will be Inventory Day for businesses across this land of Canada. And every warehouse in the country will either shut down for the whole day or overnight. They will count, calculate, and they will add up the stock of goods and inventory that they have. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Calgary, and up in the northeast, I drove around a little bit and I saw some of the largest warehouses I've ever seen before. And in minus temperatures, there were huge plumes of white smoke going up to heat those warehouses. Could you imagine being there on Thursday on Inventory Day when every box, every item from large to small, from crate to nuts and bolts have to be added up so that they might calculate the profit and loss of the year. Accounts receivable, expenses, inventory on hand, invoices receivable, all to know the state of business and to give a new starting point for another year of trading. In God's work, we ought to take inventory as well from time to time. I mean, spiritually. We ought to just take note how many new members have come into the role of the church. How many have professed faith in the Lord Jesus and joined the prayer meetings of the church. How many have heard the name of the Lord Jesus and are yet not saved. We have to count our blessings, count our victories, and confess our failures. I see today still empty seats. I know that there are prayers still unanswered. And I know that we have a city around us where countless souls are marching still on the way to hell. Have we even made a dent upon the sin and ungodliness of our city and society? To take stock will only face us with the reality that we need the presence and power of the Lord in our ministry and our service for God. Now the Lord Jesus was doing this in verse 38 of Mark. He said, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You'll notice that the world has not changed a whole lot. We still have men who are ashamed of the Lord Jesus. We still have men and women and young people who don't want to use the name of the Lord Jesus because of the shame factor that it brings. And alas, we also still live in a sinful and wicked generation. And as we take stock, we come to this great question. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Saving your soul matters because of the value of your soul. How shall we begin the inventory to calculate and count the value of your soul? A little girl complained to her mother once, "Mommy, I wish I never had a soul." And her mother firmly said to her, "Well, God has given you a soul, and you will give account what you do with it." The Lord Jesus at one point taught that it was better for a man never to have been born than to be unsaved and leave this world without a Savior. The eternal nature of our souls is spoken of right throughout the Bible. But there is one key verse in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Would you look that up for me in your Bible today? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. The matter of the soul is questioned in our times. And even as we come into God's house, I think we can be all too materialistic, all too focused upon the body, and forget that there is this distinction between soul and body. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart." That word "world" means eternity. God hath set eternity within their heart. And every man is aware that he is of eternal value. That it's more than just life here and then the end. In every culture and society, that is described and discovered. The Egyptians, they built pyramids. They buried their dead with food and artifacts, and even with slaves, so that in the afterlife they would have provisions. The Chinese, many of them worship their ancestors. They will gather around their gravesite, and there they will pray to their parents or grandparents. Because men, even without a Bible, they know that there is more to this world than just the present allotted time. And our Lord Jesus taught us clearly that the body is distinct from the soul. "Fear not him that shall destroy the body only, but fear them that shall kill the body and the soul." And so our Lord made that very, very clear. This body will disintegrate in the soil, at least until the resurrection day. And then there will be a resurrection morning. And these bodies that will lay in the ground for a time and return to dust shall rise in new likeness. That is, of course, the body of a Christian, the body of a born-again believer who is united to Christ. You will rise in new likeness to your Savior, and you will be reunited with your soul, which at the point of death goes immediately into the presence of God. Paul said, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." For the dying thief, it was paradise that day in spirit, while the body was disposed of on earth. And so there is this distinction between body and soul. And our Lord says to us, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There's the value that our Lord puts upon your soul. And even if you could gain all this world and lose your soul, it would be a raw deal. Even if you were owner and put your name to everything imaginable on this globe and lose your soul, you would be a loser for eternity. No matter how rich a death, your soul will outweigh the value of any earthly thing. Will you take that into your inventory at the close of this year? How do you value your soul? That will determine a whole lot of what you do with Christ as your Savior, of how you handle His Word, of your interest in spiritual and eternal things. the value you put upon your soul must be as our Lord valued it. It's worth more than the whole world. Another point I want to bring out of these verses is that saving your soul matters because of the cost to ransom your soul. You'll notice in verse 37 that after the Lord gave that great text, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Or, think of it this way, or, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And that could be interpreted, "What will he give to buy or purchase or redeem your soul?" It's like a child that is kidnapped and someone looks for a ransom. What value would you put upon a family member that has been kidnapped on a ransom? How much would you pay? How much are they asking? For some, it's worth everything. Every stitch, every penny, every asset you own, you would dispose of, that you might have that son, daughter, wife, or husband return safely to you. Or what shall we give in exchange for a soul? Now, you don't need to wait until the judgment day to find out that your soul is lost, or kidnapped, or taken captive. And that's exactly what Satan has done. When sin came into this world, Adam was lost. Lost to God. And all the offspring, every son and daughter of Adam born into this world, is a child of the devil, held in his sway, held ransom, or as Paul put it, led captivity at his will, in bondage to Satan. What shall we give in exchange for your soul? Well, when God was looking for a ransom to buy souls out of Satan's realm, when God was looking for an exchange manner of delivering men from sin, he looked up and down this world. He went into the hills and the valleys, to the gold mines, to the silver pits, looked at all the seams of metal upon the earth, and there wasn't enough metal in the world to buy one soul. And then he turned, as Malachi put it, the oil of this world, and there wasn't sufficient supply of oil to redeem one soul. And then all the sacrificial animals and the blood that has been shed down through generations. Even in Solomon's day of opening the temple, when countless sacrifices were offered, they were of such multitude they could not be numbered. And the blood of those sacrifices, when God looked upon the blood of animals that was offered, it was insufficient to purchase one soul. And then God looked at his only Son, the second person of the Trinity, and he said, "I will prepare you a body, and I'll send you down into earth in the fullness of time to be made of a woman made under the law. And you in body will become that sacrifice, that ransom." And our Lord Jesus entered into covenant with his Father, an agreement that God would give to his Son a people. And our Lord Jesus, under contract, would take human form, live a human life, a sinless life, and on that cross shed his blood, the blood of the God-man of infinite value, the Son, the eternal God, united to human flesh. His blood would flow, a ransom for your soul, because none other could pay the price to set you free. Peter put it well when he said that, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed by silver and gold or any other earthly thing, but by the precious blood of Christ. Nothing can wash away my sin but the blood of Jesus. And God, praise God, found a ransom. He found a payment sufficient to save me from my sins. Surely the whole drift of these words in Mark chapter 8 declare that the only way to be saved is through the life of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 35. Mark 8:35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The Bible teaches nowhere that there's any other plan of salvation, any other possibility of being redeemed. Only the Lord could span the gulf that is fixed between heaven and your soul. And without the Savior, none can pass from one side to the other. And there will come a day, unless you do take inventory of your soul and accept the ransom that Christ has offered, there will come a day when you will be beyond the opportunity of salvation. That great gulf will be fixed, and there will be no passing from heaven to those that are separated from God. What is the value of your soul? It's to be calculated in the ransom that was required to purchase you. Saving your soul also matters because of the certain loss of all things in this world. Now we're taking inventory. We're taking stock. We want to look at the profit loss margin of being a Christian. And the Lord set out the thing that people only daydream about: gaining the whole world. Now, this is impossible. Whoever gained the whole world? Whoever could put his name to all the material possessions of this earth? Not even Nebuchadnezzar of Persia. Not Alexander of Greece. Even though when he conquered nation after nation, he sat down and wept because he thought there was no other places still to conquer. Little did he know that his little world was only a fraction of this earth. Not even the Caesars of Rome, with their mighty empire that lasted until the Gauls and the Vandals came and tore down the very walls of Rome. Caesar, in all his pomp and ceremony, thought he could gain all the world, but couldn't be done. Not Stalin of Russia, not Hitler of Germany, not Castro of Cuba. And your soul is worth more of all the political dreaming. Because what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And whatever you might be able to acquire in a lifetime, and young man or woman, you may have your eyes set on that business that will make you rich or possessor of great things in this world. And if you do possess that chunk of material things that you may call your own, one day you're going to die and leave it all behind. And the only extended real estate we'll have for a time is a plot 6x3 on this earth. Costs you around $3,000 these days. And in some cemeteries is nothing more than a lease, because they have the right at some time to dig it up and reuse it again when you've turned to dust. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then also remember what our Lord said, that this world is going to burn up when all the elements shall burn with fervent heat. 2 Peter 3 clarifies that very clearly for us. The luxury condos in Dubai, the glee and the pain of the famous and the rich, they're going to burn up. The cottage where the humble family calls home, and where sinful man can be as proud of his little half-door cottage as the king in a palace, the cottage is going to burn up too. The White House where the U.S. president lives for a 4 or 8 year term, The whole place will go up, not because of Al-Qaeda or maybe a nuclear bomb, but when the Son of Man appears in the clouds, and this earth will become a ball of fire. You cannot gain by living for this world without saving your soul. You will be a loser. And saving your soul matters because of the eternal gain if your soul is saved. The Christian is building for eternal riches, things that do endure, those eternal mansions that are ours in Christ. And my friend, I want you to join this happy band who know that when this world is over, we have a home in glory with God, which is far better. Could you imagine spending a day in heaven and coming back to this old world? That fence that you painted this summer with great pride, with all the knots that are falling out of it and the kinks and the old fence, and yet you painted that it might look a semblance of beautiful. After a day in heaven, all the things of earth will seem as nothing. The artistry, the architecture, the beauty, the works of man, they will be as nothing after one day in glory. And our Lord Jesus has been there now 2,000 years preparing mansions for his people. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't build for this world, but rather build for eternal life. And now that brings us to the great business of getting your soul saved. I think that you can see here the wisdom of it. What kind of caregiver of your soul would you be if you say, in light of these things, I'm not interested in being saved? What did the Lord Jesus say that you need to do to be saved? Look at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, Christ first, Christ only, Christ always, let him deny himself. Will you do that? Deny yourself. That means stop thinking that you're bulletproof. Stop thinking that you are king and God of your own life. And come to the feet of the Lord Jesus as a sinner, empty, bankrupt, lost, in danger of losing your soul. Deny yourself. Come down from that high position of self-importance and take the place of a sinner at the feet of the Savior and say, Lord, it's your salvation for me. What else are you to do? Look at verse 34 again. Deny himself and take up his cross. Now, it's not Christ's cross. You cannot repeat the cross of Calvary. You cannot repeat that one sacrifice that was made for sin and sinners. But there is your own cross that you must take up. What is that? It's not the cross of buying salvation. It is the cross of identifying yourself with Christ, whatever the pain, the suffering may be. My favorite Bible commentator said this, and you know who he is. When persons were condemned to be crucified, a part of the sentence was that they would carry the cross on which they were to die to the place of execution. Thus, Christ carried his until he fainted with fatigue and exhaustion. The cross was usually composed of two rough beams of wood, united in the form of this figure of a cross. It was an instrument of death. To carry it was burdensome, was disgraceful, was trying to the feelings, was an addition to the punishment. So, and here's the interpretation of the Lord's words now. So, to carry the cross is a figurative expression denoting that we must endure whatever is burdensome or trying or is considered disgraceful in following Christ. You see, this world is no friend of grace. And the moment that you are a decided Christian and you are saying it is Christ for me and Him only, there will be a price to pay in real terms while you live in this sinful, cursed world. And if you are to save your soul, you must be willing to follow Christ, denying yourself, taking up your cross. And that could be the wrath of man against you. It could be the scorn of your friends. It could be the loss of position. It could be even persecution for Jesus' sake, as many Christians in the world have endured persecution for Christ's sake. And you must be willing to bear that cross to save your soul. And let me tell you, it's a great deal. There was no Boxing Day deal like this one. Pay now the salvation of your soul for all eternity. And when people look down at the Christian and say, oh, poor pathetic thing, let's realize we haven't even got up to bat yet. We haven't even entered into glory yet. Because down here on earth we are enduring, bearing the cross, that we might earn, not earn in a saving earning, but that we might be found worthy of the name of Christ our Savior and enter in to eternal glory. So take inventory of your soul today. What's it worth? Where will it be in eternity? Are you sure that you're saved? Are you bearing the cross of Christ? Anyone who professes the name of the Lord Jesus will be willing for that cross. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I trust this sermon will live on, and some of you somehow on Thursday will be taking inventory. Maybe in an office, a business, a warehouse, just wrapping things up for the old year. Take these words of our Lord Jesus to heart. What shall it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? My prayer is that you'll be saved and that you'll know the Lord. And on this last Sunday of this year, be saved. I pray for that. If you'd like me to pray with you, talk with you one-to-one, I'd love to do that. Or if you call on the Lord to save you, please tell me. Let me know. Tell me before I see it. Because if you're really saved, I will see it. And I'll be seeing more of you than ever before in the new year to come. May the Lord bless His word.